Till 9 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order. Would you please call the roll? You're muted.
I'm muted?
Oh, no, there you go. Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Bill Culver. Dan Crosby.
Here.
Jeff Jones.
Here.
Bob McGinnis.
Here.
Paul Penny.
Here.
Andy Rich is absent. Sharon Tobias.
Here.
Dave Hicks.
Ali, we can't hear you.
Dave Hicks. Oh. Dave Hicks.
Here.
Andrew Ramos.
Present.
Present. Okay, I thank you all for coming this morning. Before we get into the agenda, your candid thoughts about not so much meeting this way. I think this is going to be business for us for some months to come. But does 9 o'clock set well with everyone? Is that a good time? Or would you rather do it later or earlier?
Oh, 9 is fine.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. You know, we're not bound to do it on Saturday either if you want to do it another day. It's just something to think about. The schedule for next year will be the same schedule we had this year. Months-wise, January, March, May, the annual meeting in June, July, September, November. That was our layout for this current year, and that'll be the same thing. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. Sorry I'm late.
A great hat.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the style. Now.
Give us the Western look on the porch. I got
there
it.
There you go.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public that wants to be heard? Carissa?
Not that I've seen. There's nobody else trying to come in. No okay. Shareholders have entered.
Okay. There are 3 items on the consent calendar. Does anyone want to take anything off the consent calendar? If not, I'll take a motion to accept.
I move.
Who accepted?
So, Bob, back to the next year's schedule. So you said the months of what is going to be the second Saturday with. What day of the month is it going to be?
Wait, you're breaking up, Dan.
So for next year's schedule, what day, what weekend of the month is it going to be? Is it going to be the second week of the month?
Yeah, if that's still all right, we'll stay with that.
No.
If that's a problem, we can move it. We can move it. It's kind of the will of the people, if you will. The question is, do you want to keep the, and they're going to be Zoom meetings, you want to keep them on the second Saturday of the month? And the answer is we will until we have a need to move them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a motion to, again, to accept the consent calendar.
A move to accept. It's Jeff.
A second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 And opposed say nay. Thank you. Item 2A, the committee project reports. Dave Hicks.
Okay, on the project, everything is installed on the east side of Moran. All the hydrants, all the main line, all the services. And right now they're filling and pressure testing the pipe. So pipes are going to be pressurized to 225 pounds, up to 275 pounds per square inch. And then the leaks, there will be leaks in the new pipe, and they're going to locate those and fix them. After that, we're going to go in and flush the pipes and then take back T samples. And when they pass, which they will pass, I'll get the okay from the state and we will send notice to connect letters out to the people. Once the pipes are sanitized, we should be able to feed water from the new pipes that we just installed out to unit 13. It'll go through the pump house and up to 13. Right now, we're feeding water across the golf course through the Blue Lake Springs and Moran pipeline that's already been installed for years. But we're going to be able to feed the water through the new pipes, which will allow us to take the pressure off of Blue Lake Springs pipe and Moran so that Mazingo can start installing their services on those pipes, which is a faster way than we thought we could do it. That means that they will install those services on the pipes and also put 2-inch pipes on Sandy Court and Moran Court. Those are the two courts that are left off right now. And Mazingo will concentrate on completing the pump house and remaining services. The pump house still has to be tested. We're waiting on some parts, so there's no exact date for testing the pump house, but it'll be in the next week or two, we'll be doing that. Then we have what's remaining then is the punch list, paving, and then they'll move on to, A1C would be the next project if we approve that.
Well, actually, that one's been approved. We just haven't awarded it.
Yes, it has.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then they'll work on that. Also, they're going to have some work to do for Public Works. Public Works has some issues with some of our ditches and some of the rock. It's kind of got scattered around in the ditches. They have a little list. They're going to work on that, completing that. And then the paving, of course, will be one of the final items is paving. And also we'll move on then to Del Rio and Boro, our extra projects. So that's pretty much where we're at right now on the project.
How about the installation of meters?
Well, the meters are going to be put in by Mazingo. Our guys have already located the areas, the services that already have meters have been located, so those will not be installed by Mazingo. We'll put those in ourselves.
And how much of a project is that?
Of Mazingo? Well, there's 200 and some odd meters to put in. So it's not a huge project.
Is that on the back side or?
That's on the east, side.
Okay.
All the other meters are in.
Except for the ones on Moran and Blue Lake. There's 51 left, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Weren't we putting the meters in ourselves before? Have we passed that on to Mazinga?
Well, we started doing it, but our guys were getting behind doing it, so it's just a faster way of getting it done.
How many more meters do we have left to do? Just about 200.
Somewhere in there. There's some, like Sharon says, there's 51 or so on Blue Lake Springs Drive and Moran Road. And there's 200 or so on the east side yet.
Okay.
Any questions or comments? Go ahead, Dan.
I had a general question for Dave later. I was just looking at the usages, and it seemed like June and July went up. Should we discuss that later, or should we discuss that now?
On the use?
Yeah.
That's coming up, yes.
All right.
Well, for repair.
Okay, on well four. Yeah, this week, Tuesday, the Hawk Systems came in and pulled the pump and motor on well four on Tuesday, and took them a couple days. Tuesday and Wednesday, they pulled it. They determined that it was the motor that burned out. It was shorted out. They took the motor with them back. They're going to go to Grundfos, the manufacturer, and see if we can determine why the motor failed. And then hopefully we'll find out why it did, and we'll correct that. And it's possible we could upgrade the motor to a 50 horse from a 40 to allow more gallons per minute to be pumped out of well four. And that also plays into the possible increased usage and demand that we might have on our system, depending on we don't really know the causes yet of the increased usage we've seen over the past year and a half. But we want to look ahead and see if it's possible to get some more water out of that well. So once we find out the cause, we will determine if we can upgrade the pump, and if we can, we will. And we'll get it going. It should be going again in another week or so.
Since you just mentioned usage, you want to, we have a chart as part of the package that was forwarded to us. You want to touch on the increase in usage, at least it shows through June. And any comments you have on the 4th of July, about the 4th of July weekend?
Our weekend was big, but it wasn't unusually big for the 4th of July. We usually have quite a demand. It's many years it's been our peak demand. And so we are not alarmed by that, but I am paying attention to the overall increase in usage that I see happening over last year and the first few months of this year. There's some factors that we're looking at. I mean, I think some of that can be related to the virus. Home sales are going, you know, very strong home sales up here. We are not sure exactly what that means. It's possible that we could have more full-timers in the future. And it could be COVID related. It could be other factors. People can work from home now. They're seeing that, wow, it's pretty nice to be able to work from home. Why don't I just, you know, buy a cabin and move up here and work, you know, do that. Lee did note that the demands that we're getting, which are demands for new home sales, the addresses coming through are not Arnold's addresses. So that could mean that, you know, we're not, they're just second homes. Also, the, you know, people could buy a home to rent it as an investment to rent out. We have to keep an eye on that to see how that works. But we're just watching it right now. But we'll see what happens as time goes by. We still have a great water supply, and our wells are in good shape. But like I say, we're thinking ahead, trying to see, you know, if we can get more production out of our wells without hurting them. And that's what we're looking at right now.
So the big spikes that we see in May and June, that's in the handout, we just don't really have any idea exactly what it's from.
Well, I'm assuming that.
I would like to. I'm sorry to interrupt it, but yeah, I think it's from people staying up here since the 1st of March when they closed all the offices, because I was one of those people. And, you know, I didn't do a statistical analysis, but just when you go down and play golf, there's a lot of people during the week that aren't, that have just started, have moved up here. So I know in general, if we did a study, I don't think we have to do a study, but I think it's reasonable to assume that people are staying up here because their offices are closed in the Bay Area or, you know, close by. So I think that's, I mean, it's interesting. So I would go off of that theory right now for the increase in usage. So there'll be more permanent people up here, I think. But
well, we certainly have enough meters in our system now, although it's not complete, to reflect any increase in usage or decrease for that matter. And the whole focus of the meter is to measure the amount of water being used, if I understand that correctly.
Yeah, but we're measuring the overall system usage, and the two should be equal unless there's any leaks. But
we have to have everybody on a meter in order for them to be actually equal. So right now we still don't have probably 500 people on a meter.
So the numbers that are in the packet, David, are those based on the system meters or those based on the user's meters?
They're based on the usage meters. They're not based on the individual water meters, no.
No, it's the system meter.
It's the system meters.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious that it's such a big spike. I was curious. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I agree that a good portion is attributed to our friend, the virus. But we ought to get back on the bandstand that it's okay to conserve water. That seems to have gotten lost over the last year or so. And I think it's important for us to keep that message out front. I mean, we have plenty of water, but we certainly don't have an abundance. And that abundance can go away very quickly.
But
are there other indicators in the community that there are there other indicators in the community that there are more people?
I think just look at the housing inventory between Murphy's and Big Trees. There's just not a lot of houses for sale. Play golf with a realtor, and you know his opinion is that there's just a ton of people up here that are staying where they normally wouldn't be staying. They're either part-timers that are here full-time now, or they're renters. So to me, the spike is all COVID-related or mostly COVID-related. The CERS meetings are the first one's been Zoom. We've got another one coming up. I have offered to do a presentation on water conservation as it relates to outdoor water use for the for the CSRS group. So, you know, water conservation is always at the forefront for me and number one issue, regardless of the water supply.
Well, there must be other indicators that the population is larger.
Well, I mean, if you just go by, I mean, again, this is not science or, you know, where a formal study's done, but if you go to Big Trees Market, I mean, you can tell when there's more people in town than when it's like, you know, in March. I mean, there's a dramatic difference in, you know, the wait times, you know, just to go to the grocery store. And then the other indicator is the number of people in the post office when you go at different times of the day. There's rarely a time where there's not a line to pick up a package at the post office right now where, again, like in March, you could go in and just walk out. So there's definitely the only thing I can think of, and I think Dan was asking the question, it was a good question, is if we looked at the individual meters, and you're saying that we could look at the water usage of each housing unit, right? From the meters, then you could tell if one unit was using more water. So if you had one that went from 0 to 100 or 50, then you would know that that person is staying up here. But if you look at the year round people, then if the people that live up here year round are using more water, then it's a water conservation issue. Okay. So, but somebody would have to go in and do the analysis. But I think Dan's point was correct, or question.
Okay. Any other comments?
Well, I just want to point out that we don't necessarily know who's here year-round normally, because we have looked at that data, and we decided that if only 15% in theory are here year-round, we just grouped everybody together. So we are currently looking at the data. I have the May data, and I should be getting the June data next week for the meter readings. So, but I was really surprised to see the big spike for May and June on, you know, in the handout today, or in the packet when I looked at it on Wednesday. So, but you know, I think I look around and I see a lot of people coming and going. They come up for 4 days, leave for 3 days, come back for a few days. You know, that's what I'm seeing with some of the people I know who, you know, have their second home up here. They're not staying for good, but they're not staying away either. So.
Okay. Any other comments about usage?
Well, can we look at, I mean, does the homeowners, the Blue Lake Springs homeowners restaurant and swim recreation area, do we sell water to them? Or?
Yes.
That's one. And then the other is the country club to see if their water usage has gone up. But I don't know of any other that would be a community indicator.
The golf course water doesn't come from us.
No.
You mean in the restaurant or?
On the golf, the golf course where most of the water is used is not from us.
I was talking about the restaurant and
that's on CCWD. They have CCWD for that.
Okay, all right. So they won't help us.
But and the Blue Lake Springs restaurant is closed, so
they won't help then either.
Well, there are other indicators. There'd be more people in the gas stations. There'd be more people buying product on the market. I think if you're a full-time resident up there, and I am not, you'd have a sense of there are more people.
Well, the point that that Jeff made about, I was there when the realtor was talking about the number of people staying up here more. We were playing golf, and he seemed that's his business to track the number of people and sell houses. So if you go by what his anecdotal evidence is, there's more people up here.
Scott Self, who owns Big Trees Market, told me less than a month ago that this is the biggest year he's ever had.
Okay.
And if you want to go by the COVID-19 increase in cases that we've had in the county, it's an indicator of a lot of people coming up. The cases have increased quite a bit.
Okay. All right. Item next is long-range planning. Tom can't make it this morning. Sharon, did you have anything from long-range?
So Tom had a thing in the packet, update.
Yeah.
I just had a few highlights. I'm sure everybody went through it and understood perfectly everything in this packet. So, so the important things, I think, are for Mazingo, they have $1.6 million left in their budget. And it doesn't include, let's see. Anyway, they're 87% spent. That hasn't changed. I don't know if we got the June billing yet from them. So for MC Engineering, they have, through their May invoice, they have $106,000 left in their budget. We have gone back and asked, because the project's going to go past July, which was the end of their contract date, and we've asked them for another amendment to get them through any additional work that Mazingo is going to be doing. And we'll touch on that in a second here. CoBank, because of, luckily we've had really good interest rates, they keep decreasing. The actual interest to date, we've spent $257,108. And Tom estimates our remaining estimated interest through October 2020 is $84,892. So, and as of June 2020, we've requested reimbursement for $1.2 million of MC's costs. So, and our total estimated interest is $342,000 for the whole project. So that's much lower than I think we thought we were going to do. So we'll have to pay. So I'm going to move on to the next slide. I don't know if you guys had any questions on that first one, but, on the next slide, that looks like a spreadsheet. Nothing much has changed since the last time we met. However, we have gotten quotes in from Mazingo for Borough Court in Del Rio. And a couple of years ago, when we talked about these projects, originally one of the quotes was $40,000 for Borough Court, and now it's down to $38,951. But the big one was Del Rio. Originally had estimated $90,000 and the quote came in at $59,000. So we feel really comfortable that we can get these projects done. And they've also reduced the number of days. We had guesstimates of how much money and how much time it would take. So each of those projects would add like 4 contract work days to the contract. So, so the total estimate for these two projects originally was $156,500, and now it's down to $122,000. So Mazinga's gone in and said, okay, this is what we really think it will take. And then we did the go-ahead for the Cypress Point extension of the 250 feet of pipeline. I think they've already put that in, Dave?
No, they haven't put it in yet.
Oh, they haven't put it in, okay. And one thing, we're going to go ahead with Project A1C, which is working at the treatment plant. And we talked on Thursday at the construction meeting about having, before we award the whole project, authorizing Mazinga to go out and pothole so that way they can look and see what's really going on there and then order the right fittings, right amount of materials that they're going to need. So from the contract side, everything looks really good. It looks like at this point, we might end up with $92,000 left in the contract. So that's at the end of that spreadsheet. On the next page, he has our projected eligible USDA reimbursements. So, thank you. Let's see, now I can look at that. So, as you can see on the top six rows, we've reimbursed ourselves for MC engineering costs for 2016-17, January through May of 18, and June through November of 2018. So we've our balance to be reimbursed is $854,287 that we have yet to reimburse ourselves. We also have parts that the water company has purchased for meters, PRVs, sample stations, and Omni master meter purchases. That may go up a little bit if we buy another master meter that I think we need. We also, the PRV purchases, we still don't know if USDA will approve the reimbursement of that item. But go ahead.
Sorry, Sharon. I did talk to Mike Sturinsky from USDA, and he is okay. He's verbally okay with the PRV purchases to approve them.
Okay.
So it looks like we're going to get those. We still have to draft a letter to him, but verbally he's okay with it.
That's great. And then we have the CoBank reimbursable interest of $342,000 estimated through September, October that we can reimburse ourselves. So our total potential remaining reimbursements is $1.7 million. I can't say all that. I'm sorry. And it looked like we got a schedule from Mazingo on Thursday or Wednesday, and they were predicting with adding the borough court in Del Rio, and they're trying really hard to get everything done by early October, even though technically they could go further out because they get some weather days. They still want to get the project done as early as possible. So we're holding them to that because we're like, we don't want to pay more interest just to keep you going. So I think they're all working well as a team. And MC is also working with, digressing. They're starting to work with USCA about closing out the project. So in the fall, in August and September, I'm hoping we'll have some meetings with USCA about how we close everything out. And then they can, the day everything closes, they transfer the money over to us. So we're a cheap co-bank, I guess. So anyway, let's go on to the next. Okay, the asset management plan. Tom is still working on this. Based on the data presented in the annual meeting, he's working on the asset replacement cost funding plan options that I think we're funding from some of the USDA reimbursement. Several options to consider should be developed within the next couple of weeks and be ready to review at the LRPC. And the goal will be to reach concurrence within LRPC and bring recommended options to the board for review and approval at the September 12th meeting. That's it.
Any questions or comments? Okay. Sharon, thank you. Any other unfinished business to come before the board?
There's a well repair. And we did that? We did that. Never mind.
Sorry.
Who's speaking?
Nobody.
Nobody's speaking? Oh, okay.
No. So I had a question about the billing. I got our water bill a couple days ago. And it doesn't seem very clear that we're showing the base usage. And in fact, I couldn't find it anywhere on the bill. The 700 cubic feet per 2 months. We've adjusted that bill a couple times. We kind of out of our allowed change to the format of that billing, or?
Could you hold that just for a couple of minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Under new business item next is the a request we have yet to receive from the Homeowners Association about putting an antenna on one of our water tanks. Dave?
Yes, Tony. I talked to Tony, and he was supposed to get me a formal request yesterday. It just came in just before the meeting, and I didn't have time to send it out to everybody. So in my mind, you know, we still haven't got a formal request in time for the meeting. But I did put in a little write-up in the packet from the company that's going to proposing to put in an antenna up at our tank site. And I don't know if you guys read that, but it's they're not going to put an antenna on the tank. They're going to put one on. We have a little building there next to our tank, and they would like to put an antenna on the building and have some equipment inside the building. It will use our power that we have there. But part of that, they're going to come up and take a look next week. I'm going to meet with them. We'll just do some preliminary research on it. From the write-up that we got from Columbia Communications, I ran it past Bill, our guy in the field, Bill Heinle. He is okay with it as written that way. But first, I think we have to decide if then the radio people can tell us that if their signal is going to be compatible with what's already up there. We have a ham set up from Ken Sanders, ham radio guy, put an antenna up there to improve the ham reception. And also we have our SCADA controls. That's another frequency that we need to operate with. So we want to make sure that any new radio equipment will not interfere with what we already have. And so that's where that stands right now. We're just kind of looking at it. And we didn't, you know, the homeowners board is a little slow in getting us our formal request. Lee did point out that yesterday that, you know, if the board decided we could have a special meeting anytime we want, and anytime we can get everybody together on Zoom. We don't have to wait till our next board meeting, but to, you know, to approve or disapprove of this project. But I just wanted to put out some background information for you guys to take a look at.
Well, I assume they're going to pay all costs, correct?
Well, that's it. We would have to have Andrew draw up a agreement that, you know, protects us. And doing that alone is going to cost us money. So we would have to make sure they paid all those costs. And of course, the installation costs and all that.
Well, wouldn't we just have them draw up the first agreement instead of us drawing it up? And then we would have Andrew review what their proposal is. That way you don't have to pay for the, you know, the first contract. I mean, the most work is done in the first draft, so.
This is Andrew, and Bill, you're right about that. I mean, the good news is we do this sort of agreement all the time for our water district clients, because this issue comes up all the time. So I have forms that I can work from. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. The real key is just knowing the terms that the water company wants to impose on the homeowners association. So clearly, as Dave said, covering all costs, indemnities, protections for the water company against anything that might arise from this. And then if there's any other business terms between the association and the water company, is there a cost, anything like that? Those are the things I would need to know. The drafting should be relatively simple. And frankly, I think it would probably be more effective to have us draft the agreement cost-wise than to receive a a questionable agreement from them and have to spend a lot of time revising or restarting anyway. I don't know who they're represented by or if they have any experience in this, but we can get it done pretty quickly.
Will the, do we have to pay for their power, or can we have them? They need a power supply, so I'm assuming we have the power, or they're going to provide their own power.
No, we have the power, so they would be using our power. It's a minor amount of power, but you know that is a point.
I think we need they need to pay rent for the space. That's just my opinion.
Well,
so whatever you guys think.
Well, they were going to charge us, as you recall, for the lay down of all our equipment to the tune of $1,000 a month. And we decided to take our equipment, if you will, and put it someplace else. Part of me says we're no better than they are if we charge them. The customer base is the same. I could never understand why they want to charge us in the first place. On the other hand, I don't embrace their attitude about it. They're going to call us and tell us that they are going to put an antenna up there, and we are just supposed to walk along hand in hand and smiling. I think the once we get a we're asking for a formal request, which Dave has received. We answer it with a contract that Andrew prepares, and our board then approves it. We're not going to enter into any type of contract unless the board approves it. So when I first heard about this, the first thing I thought about is we ought to charge them and tell them that turnaround is fair play, and perhaps they'll remember how we felt when they wanted to charge us. But that would make us no better than they are. There's still a smattering of they treat us like the local bastard child. And this is a good opportunity for us to remind them that they're out of line on that. And I don't want to make this thing bigger than it is. This is a business deal. If there's some way we will profit from them having it's a diplexer, it's a repeater system, so they can operate their equipment down at Flying Acres Lake or something like that. Dave told me that in the past, their roving security people, if they still have that, have found leaks in our system and have been fairly beneficial to us on occasion. And I think for that, we ought to entertain working with them. This all hinges on a request on their part, rather than a phone call saying their board has already approved it. Their board doesn't approve equipment in our facilities.
So can I just, apologize for not being up to speed, but for the antenna, what is exactly the purpose of the antenna? It says on our packet, the proposed two-way radio repeater installation.
That's so what it is.
Yeah, but what is that for? Is that for security or?
Yes, that's for their security two-way radios that they carry with them. They can have better reception. Now, as Bob said in the past, the security was much better in Blue Lake Springs. They used to patrol the subdivision, and by doing that, they would find, cabins that were damaged, doors were kicked in.
Yeah.
They were robbed. They'd find these things, trees falling on, that fell on a cabin. They would find that faster than, the homeowner may not know.
There's a tree on my neighbor's roof that's been there for 2 years. And so,
so
I mean,
yeah, but
anyway, it, I mean, I, all right. So basically this is not a, something that the homeowners are going to make money on. So I agree with the Good Samaritan or Goodwill approach. So
I would charge it for the power though.
Well, it may not be very significant. It may not be worth the paperwork, but.
All right. Well, let's find out.
We can find out.
Yeah. It, if it is, it is. It isn't. Okay. But we do that for anybody else. If there were anybody else. Okay. Anything else on that, Dave?
No, I don't think so. I will send out the request to you guys after the meeting. So you could take a look at it and I'll send it to Andrew and then we can go from there.
That'll work. Item next is correspondence.
None.
Really? Item next then is report on our billing process. We just sent out the third of six billings and the first billing, when the first billing went out, we got over 300 phone calls and turned out that people didn't read the document. And the 11 of the 300 that had a concern, we fixed those. The second time we got about 20 or 30 calls. And this time, how many calls do we get, Carissa?
Maybe three this week.
Three?
Yeah. There's not many.
Overwhelming response.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments from staff on the billing process?
I'm going to bring this up so because it sounded like Dan had a question about some things. So here's a picture of a sample bill that went out. And I'm not sure, Dan, were you talking about down here, the usage bars?
Sorry, I was muted. Somewhere on the bill, we say what the baseline is. And I don't see anywhere on the bill. I mean, we could put a bar in here that's, isn't the baseline 700 cubic feet for 2 months?
Yes. Uh-huh.
See, but I don't, is there anywhere that we tell them what the baseline is?
The billing period in the middle, Carissa. Billing period and usage.
Yeah, but he's saying if we had somewhere that showed him once you go over like this, maybe this should, you know, a bar right in here saying once you go over this or something, that's where you're getting charged so they know what the threshold is or what the allotment is. Is that what you're talking about, what their allotment is?
Yeah, we don't show baseline anywhere. I mean, we should show baseline on the bill, right? But they like PG&E does.
Well, yeah, you have to. You have to read the billing to find it. What you're proposing is we have a linear presentation on the bill itself, because on the bottom of the billing on the bar graphs, it speaks to if you're over 700, it shows that, but you have to read the graph to figure it out. And you're
I don't see it on this bill
on the side where it says under 700 right there. See, the graph's wrong, Carissa. There's 584. That should be nothing there because that should be underneath that graph. We'll talk to them about that.
Yeah, but don't you – well, yes and no, because they still want to see, you know, May, June, I only used 584. They still want to know what they saw. It's still
a – And I agree with that. Let's just move the graph up, and we'll do the under 700. We'll put – if you're 584, it'll register underneath that 700 line.
So we'll put –
they can still see the 584. They can still see the 430, but it'll all be below that 700 line.
Right. Okay.
We'll have a bar that shows –
I think it's easier to make it zero and then put the 700 between the zero and 1,000, you know.
Yeah, we can figure that out. We'll handle that. You bet.
So that way you can have your 584 and they can see that's under 700. I think that's
so we should have a bar across there that 700.
One at a time, please. Dan, go ahead.
So I'm just proposing that we have a bar, like Bill said, that between zero and 1,000 at 700, it goes across and it says 700 baseline or something. So it graphically shows when they're over and it graphically shows when they're under, and they can also say monthly usage or bi-monthly usage.
You can do that.
Okay, so I'm clear. We keep everything the way it is now, but we add a linear line to reflect where 700 would fall in the count, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So this be zero, and then zero to 700, and then 700.
No, no, it would just, you just put simply 700. That's 700 cubic feet is our allowable minimum, and put it in a different color if you want. Put it in blue and stick it all the way across the page. It automatically show those that are using more. And I would keep the numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Not because okay. I say so, but
you know, that makes sense. Then they know once they're over that threshold, then they're getting billed, or that's where this metered water charge comes from, and they can kind of compare it to the chart.
Yeah, right. I tell the board that in talking to staff that the simplest we keep this, the simpler we keep it, the better off we are.
Yeah. Okay. Sharon has a question. She raised her hand.
Sure.
I don't know how to use that feature. So my question is, is there a way, like, in the upper right-hand box above the graph where it says, like, meter watered, we could say over or in the base rate, somehow we include in there in writing, you know, the base rate includes 700 cubic feet, or the metered water is for anything over 700 cubic feet. So, I don't know.
I think that may get it too crowded. We can look at that. But right. no one really, everybody knows they have the free water, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, I don't
but
know.
We can look at that also.
I think as you get these last 300 people who aren't going to hook up for another 6 months, you know, they're not going to know there's free water. They're not going to remember. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's something if we want. Well, I don't know if we could put something in important messages or. Yeah, we could probably put maybe even some wording up here too. There's kind of a bigger, not a lot of people are going to go in this area right here. Maybe we could put, you know, just a simple sentence, you know, saying kind of the allotment or somehow word it right in here.
I like
yeah,
that.
Or under the usage, under billing period and usage, you have, for this person, we have 1829. That was their usage in cubic feet.
Yeah.
I wonder if, I'm not trying to make it more difficult, if we subtract the 700 out and say, okay, so now you're going to pay for 1129. I think that's like what my water bill at home looks like. You know, I get a, because I don't know how they would know how that 1806 is calculated, because I don't see that on here. Maybe it's on a second page. I don't know.
Well, it's down below.
But if you want to work on, if you want to just do the, you know, your thing in the a chart, your statement in the chart, that's probably good, and we can see how it goes next time. Maybe it'll be clearer.
Yeah, the only thing is I just don't know if our billing company is capable, or if we could show that on here to show this amount minus the 750. I'm not sure. We'd have to ask Black Mountain and the billing company if they had that capability of doing that.
Right.
I mean, we can look into all these different things. We come up with a couple different options, and then we can send them
out. Let's do that. Judging from the phone calls we've gotten over the experience of these partial billings, we're now finding out that people are actually reading the bill. And they're reading the bill because we've made it incredibly sterile and simple. And we've got to keep it that way.
Yeah. I think a big part was Lee's idea. We added this box right here, invoice 3 of 6. So the few calls I've had, people say, oh, I don't, now I, you know, I owe so much, but this is the third one. I didn't even know I had one or two or whatever. So they're understanding, you know, we're halfway done, and then it's making more sense to them. They can figure out when they're getting their bills, where they're at. So that has helped a lot. And then we still get a lot of checks, but as of right now, right before the meeting, I looked, we have 183 that have signed up for online auto pay.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's more and more every day. It seems like people are asking, can I just set this up with you automatically? And then once I had two people yesterday that I told that to, and they were going to do that. So more and more people are doing that.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the billing? Can we go back to the agenda or the regular screen? Thank you. Anything else on monthly billing, invoices, receivables, et cetera? Item next is reportable items.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4 that were listed in your packet. The first one was the non-compliant connections, and I'm going to let Carissa and Dave talk to that, if not Andrew.
Lee, you froze.
I did. The first one is the non-compliant connections. I'm still frozen. You're all frozen.
You're frozen.
How do I get unfrozen?
How does that happen?